bertemu kembali. Astro Malaysia Holdings Berhad mencatatkan peningkatan pendapatan 7% bagi suku keempat tahun kewangan berakhir 31 Januari 2023. Ia dipacu peningkatan perbelanjaan pengiklanan ADEX yang tinggi serta kenaikan asas jalur lebar peningkatan pendapatan suku ke suku kepada RM991 juta.
Kumpulan Astro dalam satu kenyataan media turut memaklumkan keuntungan selepas cukai dan kepentingan minoriti Patami bertambah baik bagi suku ke suku tempoh sama kepada RM55 juta. Ia disumbang liabiliti pajakan transponder yang turut dipengaruhi kenaikan nilai ringgit sepanjang tempoh itu diimbangi kos tinggi kandungan sukan. Menurut Ketua Pegawai Eksekutif Kumpulan Astro, Yuan Smith, pelan transformasi masih diteruskan pada tahun ini sejajar dengan peletakan struktur dan tunjang yang akan menentukan masa hadapan Astro. Bagi tahun kewangan 2024, akan terus melihat Astro melabur dalam jangka masa panjang transformasi dan pembangunan mampan. Menerusi kerjasama strategik bersama Liga Bola Sepak Malaysia MFL, menandakan kemasukan semula Astro sebagai penyiar rasmi Liga Malaysia. Dengan kandungan tempatan memperoleh 75% tontonan pelanggan, Astro akan meneruskan memperkasakan Astro Originals dan Signatures seperti Projek High Council, Anda Itu Takdirnya, Family Feud dan Liar akan menepati kehendak penonton untuk kandungan yang berkualiti tinggi.
Bongkah cendawan biasanya dihasilkan menggunakan habuk kayu getah dan juga namun hasil inovasi terkini yang digunakan usahawan dari Parit Hassan, Benut Pontian, Johor ini menggunakan sisa nenas sebagai medium tanaman cendawan. Nur Saifulam Amri berkata kesukaran mendapatkan habuk kayu getah mendorongnya untuk melakukan inovasi. Katanya sebelum sisa nenas digunakan, dia pernah mencuba buluh, hampas soya dan juga sisa kelapa sawit namun tidak mampu menghasilkan kualiti cendawan yang baik.
Penghasilan bongkah cendawan dari sisa nenas juga mengurangkan kebergantungan kepada habuk kayu getah yang terhad. Inovasi yang telah bermula 2 tahun lalu ini mendapat kerjasama dari Lembaga Perindustrian Nenas Malaysia LPNM. 3 ujian makmal yang dilaksanakan mendapati media cendawan dari sisa nenas boleh menghasilkan cendawan yang tinggi berbanding kayu getah. Malah ia juga bersifat mesra alam dengan memberi nilai tambah kepada sisa nenas yang mudah diperolehi di Johor.
Selepas kita memperkenalkan inovasi cendawan nenas ini, kami memperkenalkan produk-produk kami daripada media sosial seperti Facebook, Instagram dan TikTok. Dan selepas kita memperkenalkan, dia menjadi satu bualan pengusaha cendawan di Malaysia ini. Dan selepas itu, kami juga telah diminta oleh Jabatan Pertanian untuk memasuki pertandingan inovasi di peringkat Jabatan Pertanian Johor dan Mardi. Dan produk inovasi ini telah mendapat tempat pertamalah emas di peringkat Jabatan Pertanian dan mendapat anugerah di Mardi. Dan Alhamdulillah, tahun ini juga produk inovasi cendawan nenas ini diangkat sebagai produk yang untuk memasuki pertandingan inovasi di peringkat kebangsaan di bawah Jabatan Pertanian Malaysia.
Bercerita lanjut, Saiful berkata penggunaan sisa nenas juga boleh memberi penjimatan kos hampir 50% berbanding habuk kayu getah. Malah bahan itu mudah diperolehi daripada usahawan dan peladang sekitar Pontian. Katanya hasil cendawan yang keluar dari bongkah sisa nenas juga lebih tinggi nutrien. Pembuatan bongkah cendawan dari sisa nenas memerlukan bantuan LPNM untuk menghancurkan sisa nenas tersebut menggunakan mesin khas. Selepas sisa dihancurkan seperti serbuk dan diwapkan, bongkah cendawan akan disuntik dengan benih dan diperam selama 45 hari sebelum ia mengeluarkan hasil. Malah bongkah yang sudah luput juga akan dijadikan baja organik. Mengakui ramai usahawan seluruh negara yang berminat selepas dia memperkenalkan inovasi itu di media sosial, Saiful tidak menang tangan menerima tempahan.
A language generating AI model called ChatGPT, which is available for free, has taken internet by storm. And while AI has the potential to help IT and security teams become more efficient, it also enables threat actors to develop malware. And this is why the use cases that generative AI addresses are extremely attractive to threat actors. Joining us this morning is Ravi Rajendran, Vice President of Asia Pacific and Japan at Cohesity, to talk further on this topic. Ravi, good morning. Thank you so much for joining us.
Good morning, Najib. Thanks for having me on the show.
All right. First of all, what are the most common ways in which ChatGPT can be, you know, leveraged for cybercrime, and how do they work?
All right. So there are pros and cons to anything that is AI or ML, right? ChatGPT is a solution. This is the most hyped solution right now that everyone's talking about. It can be used mainstream. It can be used as a consumer play. But again, like I said, there are pros and there are cons. You know, pros are things like you can ask a question and you get a very human-like answer, a response, because there's a ton of information behind ChatGPT. It could also be used to generate codes easily. You know, it supports any software language. It allows better decision-making because, you know, automation drives efficiency. Efficiency drives better decision-making. It can be used for things like detecting phishing emails and all that. It also helps you understand what data you have out there, right? You know, because sometimes you do not want that data to be out there, especially in a public domain. So these are some of the advantages that it brings. As you know, a sword kind of cuts both ways, right? So just as much as it can be used to easily create code, it could also be used to create malicious code or malware code, what we call as potential ransomware threats or cyber threats. And with the use of AI, it enables you to bypass security parameters, and it just is ripe for any cyber attacks. It could also be used to create phishing emails. And also with this, it could also be used to crack passwords, right? So there are some scenarios here of concern that we should be fully aware of.
Ravi, how can businesses detect and also mitigate the misuse of ChatGPT or any other AI tools for cybercrime? And what are the potential cyber threats that ChatGPT or other AI tools poses to business continuity?
Yeah, so at Cohesity, our focus is helping customers build cyber resilience, right? Whether it's ChatGPT or any other scenario, cyber threats are happening ever so frequently. My conversations with executives is ransomware is a when, not a if it happens. And I think recently we had even an event in Malaysia, and there was a survey done with Sophos where almost 79% of the companies surveyed actually was hit by a cyber event. And I think so this is a real threat. So our suggestion is really build cyber resilience. Now, what is cyber resilience? Cyber resilience, it's the ability of a business or a company to continue running its business, to continue driving its operations, to generate revenue despite being hit by a cyber event. And I think that's just generally the definition of cyber resilience. And there are a few areas in there that we believe should be useful for a customer, right? First layer is protection. The most important asset any organization has today is data. So with AI and ML, things like ChatGPT, the leverage is on what we can do to the data. So protection is step one of cyber resilience. Detection is step two of cyber resilience, and recovery, if all else fails, is step three of cyber resilience, right? So protection, detection, recovery.
Ravi, what role do cybersecurity professionals, I know you talked some of the things that we should do, but what role do cybersecurity professionals and law enforcement agencies play in detecting and mitigating cybercrime involving ChatGPT alike, and what challenges do they face, you know, in this regard?
And that's a great question, Najib. I think bad actors are not external, it could be internal. So I think to a large extent, that needs to be laws, and we do have laws around, you know, cyber resilience and making sure that we have cyber security laws put in place at the country level and maybe even at the organization level. Data governance, knowing what data you have out there, I think becomes very crucial, right? So for any security experts or any organization that focuses a lot on having security, bring security and IT together. Converge them, because the last thing we want is for the bad actors to find a segue to get in, because typically in organizations, security is a separate department and so is technology, right? IT. Bringing them together and making sure they are prepared to build this scenario. The laws are out there. Every organization has laws, because this cybersecurity issue or cyber threat, it's a global issue, right? It's not just a country issue, and it's huge. The use of AI and ML, you know, that, while there isn't a lot of legislation focused on that, I think maybe it's time to have a look around whether legislation is required for the usage of such technologies for the potential threat that you can pose.
Ravi, briefly, what is the level of awareness among businesses, especially in terms of, you know, in terms of the awareness about the threat of AI and also adapting into more security in their system?
I think that is another great question, Najib. I think a lot of organizations out there are fully aware of what threats it poses. Like I said, a survey done by Sophos is specific to Malaysia. 79% of organizations did face such a threat, right? So I think the awareness is there. I think the main thing is to build this framework and assume worst case, something were to happen. How would the business react to this, and how do we come out stronger, right? I'll give you a good example. Fight AI with AI, right? Fight fire with fire. If AI is going to be used to penetrate an environment, use AI to help the detection of such a potential threat. That's what we do in Cohesity. We use artificial intelligence to help customers detect this, because you're not going to have a manual way of detection to prevent this from happening. So you need to make sure you're monitoring your data patterns on a regular basis, and you're making sure that if there is an anomaly, an alert is sent to the user before damage is done, right? So that level of automation is also all goodness, but it should be used in the detection of, remember, the protection, detection, and recovery that we bring to our customers. So make sure that every organization is aware that, one, you have to protect your data. You got to make sure it's immutable. You know, you have data lock. You have quorum, but not one person can make addition to damage your data, because, as like I said, the bad actors are not just out there. It could be internal. Mm-hmm. And we want to make sure that no one has the privilege to do that.
All right.
And I think that's the main thing I would advise to any organizations. Focus hard on security, bring security and technology together. All right. In a convergence.
Ravi, thank you so much for joining us this morning. That is Ravi Rajendran, Vice President of Asia Pacific and Japan for Cohesity. All right, kita akan berhenti seketika. Selepas ini, kita akan saksikan Ibrahim Sani dan juga temu berkaitan dengan Belt and Road Initiative. Selepas ini.